We are glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
God made place. He made this place. And he made place before he made people. Right? He always creates a place with purpose. This world just wasn't made willy-nilly. It had a purpose. Every day of creation served a purpose. God creates with a purpose. And this earth, it is our place. God gave us dominion over the earth. He created a planet that could handle all of our needs. And we didn't do anything to build this place. It was created for us and before us. Tech team, can you turn on the lights for me? I just cannot see anyone out there. I just want to see those beautiful people. Are y'all there? There they are. They really are here. It was created for us and before us. All right, so that's creation. Calvary, ever hear of Calvary? Kind of a big deal. Calvary is a place for us. It was created for us. The cross, the blood of Jesus, that's for us. Our redemption is the purpose of that place. That place was created for us, but we also know when we look in the Bible that it was created before us. Revelation 13:8 refers to Christ as the Lamb who was slain from the creation of the world. That means that before this world was created, right as it was being created, God saw Calvary. It was created before us, all right? He looked at us and said, those people are going to need a place like Calvary. And so he created Calvary. Calvary is such an important place. It was created before you, and it was created for you. Forgiveness of sins. God has created an interesting and mysterious place for your sin. Psalm 103:12 says this, as far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgression from us. Now notice they use east and west here. The distance between the North Pole and the South Pole is roughly 12,416 miles. Thank you, Wikipedia. All right. 12,460 miles. That would be pretty far if he just moved our sins that far, right? I would be like, praise God, 12,416 miles away. That's pretty far. However, he doesn't refer to north and south. He refers to east and west. East and west have no poles. East, when you separate east from west, it's infinity. So God has a place for your sin, and it's an infinity away from you. Anybody thankful for that? Micah 7:19 says it like this. You will again have compassion on us. Speaking of God, you will tread our sin underfoot. Where does your sin belong to God? He takes it and he puts it under his foot. All right. And hurl all our iniquities into the depths of the sea. A place that they'll never be seen again. Place is important. And God looks at everything we need and he makes a place. And it's for us, and the forgiveness of sins is one of those places. Eternity. What conversation on the importance of place would be complete without mentioning our eternal place? Yes. John 14:2-4, Jesus says this, my Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. Yeah. You know the way to go. You know the way to the place where I am going. Heaven is that place prepared for us. And not only did he create that place, he is showing us the way to get there. He wants us to know, every one of us, how to get to heaven, that place that we're with him forever. Hell, we have to talk about hell, right? Hell is a place of torment. It is a place that is totally separate from God. Matthew 25:41, Jesus says this. He lets us know that hell is a place. It's a place of eternal power, eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Okay? It was not a place prepared for you. That's good news. God didn't look at you and say, you know what? I think I need to prepare a place called hell. No. He looked at you and said, you know what? I'm going to create a place called heaven. God kind of likes you. He kind of loves you. And by kind of, I mean a heck of a whole lot. Hell is a place prepared for the devil, his angels. God has prepared a place for your enemy. Wouldn't it be foolish to join your enemy in that place? How many times do you join your enemy on anything? You shouldn't ever, right? A Dallas Cowboy fan should never root for the Washington Redskins. I should get some amens on that.
Preach.
Well, these altars are open. I'm just kidding. It's not open. All right. You shouldn't. It would be so foolish to go to a place designed for your enemy. But it would be so smart to go to a place made by your Savior, made by the one who loves you. I believe an essential question in life is there an afterlife? Is there an eternal place after this life? And if you ask that question, it usually leads to this one. Where will I spend eternity? Where will I spend this afterlife? What place will I go, heaven or hell? And if you don't know the answer to that question, I really want you to know the answer to that question. We here doing ministry at this church, we want you to know the answer to that question. If you have any doubts, please come talk to us. We're going to open up these altars after service. That would be a great time to just find us, and we will get you to that place today. Let's just do that. How about that? All right? We are excited about heaven.
Amen. Yes, we are.
I'm going to say that again. We are excited about heaven.
Yeah.
It's not just like heaven, you know, that's going to be a good place for us. No. Heaven means more than this world to us. It means our eternity to us. It's a place of joy. It's a place where there's no more sorrow, no more crying, no more tax returns. It's a place of no more hate. You name all the things in this life that you can't stand, they're not going to be in heaven. Heaven is an awesome place. We're excited about heaven. We need to think about heaven. The Bible tells us that we need to encourage each other about heaven. Encourage each other with these words that there is a heaven, that there's an eternal place for us. However, our eternal place, heaven, that's not the only place that God cares about. He cares about this place, right here. And we're walking out this journey. We're taking a journey. We're walking towards that place, the eternal place, heaven. But you're walking through this place. And God is not just like watching the clock, you know, not caring about what comes on your horizon until the day the trumpet sounds. No, He cares about what's happening right now in this place. The place where you find yourself right now matters. Remember that place is a space that is set apart for a particular purpose. I want to talk to you a guy that just typifies place in the Bible. His name is Abraham. He was a guy that God basically just pulled aside, just really just like that. God just kind of pulls him aside. Hey, I'm going to start talking to you, and you start listening. Really, just like that. And He told Abraham about a place. Genesis 12 and 1. The Lord had said to Abraham, leave your country, leave this place, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. Doesn't it always seem like God calls us from everything that is solid and sure and predictable and steady, and He always seems to call us into a place that is just filled with question marks? Right? But how many really know that when you follow God, there are question marks in your mind, but really that's the most steady place in the world to be. That you're actually standing on shaky ground now. Right? Peter is in a place where there's waves all around him. He's crying out and screaming in a boat, but he walks out on a place with Jesus that seemed insane, but he was perfectly safe. And that's how it works. God will sometimes just pull you aside and say, hey, I'm going to show you a place you have absolutely no idea about. You want to follow? Walking into that place God has for you, it takes faith. It's not this easy thing. It takes faith. God spoke to Abraham about a place. Not a heaven or hell eternity place, but a place right here in this world. I believe God wants to talk to you about a place right here in this world today. Now, eternity is important. However, the importance of your eternal place doesn't diminish the importance of the place He is calling you right now in this temporal world. I love what Hebrews 11 and 8 says about Abraham's journey. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, he obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. If you feel like you don't know where you are going in life, you're in good company. The father of faith, the hero of the Bible besides Jesus, Abraham, comes back to him all the time. Abraham had no idea where this place was. He had no idea how far it was going to take. He had no idea how he was going to get there. He had no idea what it looked like. He had no idea if there was a Walmart Supercenter nearby or anything. He literally was wandering through a place. And that is one of the most spiritual things in the entire Bible. So if you feel like, man, I'm just wandering in life, don't knock it. That might be the most spiritual place in the world for you to be. Wandering through a place with God is better than trying to chart out your own future. I speak from experience when I say that. Being in the place doesn't mean you have all the answers. Oh, is that true? It doesn't mean that you know where you're going. It doesn't mean that you're highly intelligent. It does not. I'll just say that right now. Christians are not more intelligent than every other human being. We aren't. We're just following, man. We're wandering. And Abraham is proof of this. It was on this journey to a place that he grew in his relationship with God. If you follow him to that place, you're going to grow in relationship. Who can forget the place that we see in Genesis 22? Verse 2. Then God said, take your son, your only son, whom you love. Yeah, take your son, your only son. You know the son that you love. And then it gets really bad. Isaac, make sure you know who it is. It is that guy, the one you love. And go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him. What? There as a burnt offering on a mountain. Again, I will show you. Time out. Abraham could have totally been, all right, voice in the sky. You told me, take me to a land you're going to show me. Now you're going to take me to a place you're going to show me where I kill my only son that I've been praying for, that you've been promising me, and now I have him, and now you're going to kill him. That's totally nuts. It's crazy. That is a question mark filled place, God. Sometimes we're led to scary places. Sometimes God just, he's going to lead you to a scary place. So as you're following him, if he's never led you to a scary place, get ready. Places that push our faith to the brink. Sometimes they even push us seemingly beyond what we think the brink is. You ever reach that point? It's like, oh, that's it. I can't take any more than this. If it was even one more thing than this, I would just go crazy. And then the phone rings and it was like, oh my gosh. It went way past that. And sometimes that happens. God takes you to that place. It takes you way beyond. But Jehovah God, he has a purpose. Yes. He doesn't ever create a place without purpose. He's going to show Abraham a place of sacrifice. In verse 9, it reads on, when they reached the place God had told him about, Abraham built an altar there. He arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar atop of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. Verse 12, voice rings out, do not lay a hand on the boy. He said, do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son. Abraham looked up, and there in a thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. Verse 14. So Abraham called that place, the Lord will provide. Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide. And to this day, it is said, on the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided. Interestingly, you fast forward to the New Testament in the gospel. guess what? We return to the scene of Mount Moriah, but it's called Golgotha, and it's Calvary, and that is the exact spot where the Lamb that was slain from the foundations of the earth is put on that cross. It's a beautiful, beautiful picture that God is trying to show us the importance of this place. And Abraham never even understood the full importance of that place, but now we see the importance of that place in Jesus. What a place. What a place you led Abraham to, God. There was a revelation in that place. We're walking towards an eternal place. But we're in this place, and this place matters. Yes. Have you ever gone through a difficult place? Raise of hands, anyone. You ever gone through a difficult place? Maybe you're going through a difficult place right now. A place you don't understand. A place you didn't think you could walk through. And we usually try to avoid these places, and God somehow just points us right towards them. After going through these places, it's usually that we see the reward in these places. If you're willing to travel through the unknown place with God, the place with the question marks, there is revelation there, like Abraham received. Jehovah Jireh, God is my provider. He received that in that place. If he would have checked out on God, he would not have received the revelation that was for him in that place. There is understanding in that place that God takes you to. And it's in that place that you see he is Lord. That he is Lord is not just a clever lyric that you sing in a worship song. No, he's Lord. He rules. He reigns. He's God above all your problems. You see that in the place. And you see there is blessing in that place. Verse 17 of Genesis 22. I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies. Would you like to do that? Is something you would like that promise? And through your offspring, all nations on earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me. Are you willing to walk with God to the unknown place? All nations were blessed and are still blessed because Abraham walked into that place. That's how important it is that you walk into a place. Others are blessed when you walk into a place. What he received in this place was inheritance. He received this great promise of an inheritance. Who wants to leave an inheritance to your children, to your family? Moms and dads, the best thing you can do for your family is go to that place. You stand in that place. You watch the Lord be the Lord. It's the best place for you. It's the best place for your kids. I am thankful my dad's here today, Clyde Fluitt. Give my dad a hand. I saw my dad stand in a place growing up. I saw him stand in some tough places, but he worshiped and he honored God and he had faith. And I'm standing here today because he just totally demonstrated how to go through a place. Place is important to God. It's a place that's set apart for purpose. This place, the place you find yourself right now, it matters. And God wants to teach you how to walk in place. Place isn't always a destination. Sometimes place is a journey. Genesis chapter 13, God's talking to Abraham again. He talks to Abraham a lot. Verse 17, arise, walk in the land through its length and width, for I give it to you. God gives Abraham this land. This is his promise. And he says, go. I'm inviting you to walk in the land. And it is through walking in this land that he obtains the land. See, a lot of times we want God to give us stuff, but he wants to invite us to obtain it, to walk through it, all right? And this is what it took for Abraham to obtain. Far too often, we think the place is the finish line. Oh, well, God said it's mine, so it's good. No, no, no. God has another thing for you to do. That's not the finish line. Far too many people act like the place of salvation is the finish line. Many preach a prosperity message where the place of blessing is the final destination. None of that is true. None of that is so. God has another place for you to go. God invites you to walk in the land. He invites you to walk in place. Later, it is revealed to the offspring of Abraham the power of walking in space, in place. God tells Moses about reclaiming his father's land. Here it is in Deuteronomy 11:24. Every place where you set your foot will be yours. Now, this is Moses. He is in the lineage of Abraham, but he was a slave. All of Jerusalem, all of Israel became captive to the country of Egypt. And so they had to get that inheritance back. They had to get that land back. They had to go back to that place. And God says, here's how you do it. Walk in the land. Everywhere you put your foot, it's going to be yours. Your territory will extend. God makes the same promise to Joshua and the children of Israel. And God invites you to do the same, to walk in that land. Everywhere you place your foot, I believe he's going to give it to you. Do you believe that? But what does that mean? What does it mean? Everywhere you're going to give that to me. What does that look like? What is that? That means that every place you find yourself, whatever that place is, if it's the scary place, if it's the annoying place, if it's just the I wish it was a different place. No matter what it is, God wants to give that place to you. God wants to work out that situation for your good and for the good of the kingdom. Amen? Do you believe that?
Yeah.
God wants you to walk towards this place called heaven, but he wants something else from you in this place. He wants you to walk in this place. It's a space that's set apart for purpose. He wants you to fulfill purpose in this life. He wants you to be blessed, healed, victorious, happy. He wants you to be full of life and truth. He wants you to experience these things with every footstep. Every footstep would be Abraham's inheritance. How happy do you think his kids were that he chose to walk in the land? Every footstep. Israel is a nation today because he walked it. Every footstep is your inheritance. Let's talk about that inheritance. Ephesians chapter 1. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal. Everyone said seal. Which is the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. The Holy Spirit is your guarantee from God. You pay a deposit to a seller so they know that you are good to pay the rest of the full price. Correct? It shows them that you are reliable and you are good for the agreement. The Holy Spirit, it tells us right here, is our deposit. It guarantees our inheritance. The Holy Spirit, he is your supernatural gift in a natural world. If you want to know that heaven is real, if you have questions in those areas and you have doubts and you're like, I just don't know if eternity is real, I don't know if that's real, you need to receive the Holy Spirit. Because it's your guarantee that it's real. Well, I don't know really if, I want to understand heaven a little bit more, what eternity is like. Receive the Holy Spirit because it's your down payment of your inheritance. It's a little bit of your inheritance right now. It's a little bit of heaven right now. It is a little bit of all the authority, all the power of heaven right now. We believe in the Holy Spirit around here. We believe it's powerful. We believe everything the Word of God says about the Holy Spirit. We believe that it is the Spirit of truth that leads you and guides you into all truth. If you want to be led through the places of life, you need to get yourself some Holy Ghost.
Amen. Good job.
Once you receive the Holy Spirit, something major is going to change. Walking towards that heavenly place, that eternal place called heaven, suddenly becomes walking in place. Because you are no longer walking towards heaven. You're actually walking every step under the authority, under the power of heaven. It's like Jesus praying, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Except it's more than just a prayer. It is the embodiment. It's the power. It is your inheritance living within you. It's your down payment. It's your guarantee. And if you don't know what the Holy Spirit is, you come talk to us in this altar. We love to tell you about that. You can receive that today. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus speaks of the Holy Spirit. Here he says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Now this is Jesus speaking. You know, the one who said, all power in heaven and earth is given unto me, all power. What do you think he meant by all power? All of it? Is that just too simplistic? When he says everything and all, he means every bit of it. All right, so this is that guy who says, I've got all power, and this is what he's saying to you. You will receive power. It's really lame when somebody tries to promise you something that they don't have access to. There's no way you can promise me that. If there's only one person that can promise you power, and that's Jesus Christ. He has all power. Absolutely. Power over sin and death. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. All right. This is what he's talking about. He's talking about power. He's talking about your inheritance. He's talking about authority. With the power of the Holy Ghost, like Abraham, like Moses, and like Joshua, what it says in Deuteronomy 11:24, every place where you set your foot will be yours. Your territory will extend. I want you to picture that it's no longer you doing every work with every step. It's actually the Holy Spirit, and you're taking that step, and he's the one that does the work. Jesus, talking to his disciples, he says, you're going to go to some scary places and you're going to talk to some powerful people and you're going to be worried about it. But here's what I want you to do. Here's how you be ready. And I can just see them with their pen and paper. Oh, this is how we get ready. This is how we get ready. What is it? Here's what you do. Don't think a word about what you're going to say. Can you repeat that again, Jesus? I think what you said was, don't think a word about what you're going to say. That is Jesus's advice to you about walking in place. He goes on to say this, because the Holy Spirit is going to give you the words to say. You just walk in that room. You take the step into the place. And guess what? The Holy Spirit, that power that makes you witness, it's going to do the work. Later we see Peter just walking. He's walking down the road, a man full of the Holy Spirit. And it says that they laid out sick people in the road so that as he walked, his shadow would pass over them. And while his shadow passed over them, every person was just amazingly healed. Can you imagine all the sick people in the city and they just bring them all out and he walks past them? That is what's happening. How did that happen? That was the Holy Spirit. That was just one man saying, I am going to let the Holy Spirit use me, and I'm just going to walk that simply. And I want you to get a picture of that. I want to get you to get a vision of that. Wherever you walk in life, you ought to start praying this. If there is turmoil in your house, Holy Spirit, as I walk, let your shadow just work. If there's struggle at your job, if there's struggle in your life, you ought to just pray, God, I'm going to walk. And I'm asking for your power. I'm asking for the power of the Holy Spirit. People who walk with God into unknown places have a habit of seeing God's power. We don't even have enough time to go over that list. There's just an unbelievable list of people in the Bible. And not just in the Bible. There's some people in this place that we have seen you walk. And we've seen the power of God in those places. Places of space that has been set apart for purpose. Are you walking in place? Are you allowing the power of the Holy Spirit to bring his power into your world? When the Holy Spirit comes on you, you're going to have power. I want to talk to you about the second half of that verse as the musician comes. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem. Everyone said Jerusalem. Jerusalem. And in all Judea, say Judea. And Samaria, say Samaria. And to the ends of the earth. Say, and to the ends of the
earth.
Very good at repeating what I say. Very good. All right. Jerusalem. Everybody he's talking to lived in what city? What do you think city they lived in?
Jerusalem.
Excellent. Jerusalem was their hometown. That's where they live. That's your place. That's where you live. And I'm going to say that place first because that's the place you live. When you receive the power of the Holy Spirit, you're going to be witness starting in the place you are right now. Then he says, Judea. How big do you think Judea is? Well, it's just a little larger than Jerusalem. It's an area. We live in Plano, Texas, but we live also in the Metroplex, and that's a little bit larger. Judea is like that. So start in your hometown, but it just doesn't stop there. This place is going to expand. It's going to start in Jerusalem, but it's going to end up in Judea, and it's going to end up in Samaria. Samaria is a larger territory. And it's just going to keep spreading till it covers all the earth.
Yes.
To the ends of the earth. That's how far God wants your place to go.
Hallelujah.
A spirit-filled believer walks in place. And they are witnesses everywhere they go. There's some places in your Bible where someone's running from their life. Philip, in Acts chapter 8, he's running for his life, Rick. That's what he's doing. Praise the Lord. He's on a mission field. He's doing... No, he's running. Oh, my God. But while he's... What are you doing? Running for my life. Tell him I went that way. And he passes through this area called Samaria. He runs from his hometown. He runs through Judea. He's like, they are after me. And he finds himself in Samaria. And while he's just running through Samaria, he takes some time. And he starts telling them about Jesus Christ. And you know what? The power of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
It worked in his life right in that moment. And you know what? A few people were saved in that city.
No.
You know what? A few people in that city, you know, felt the Holy Ghost.
No.
A few people in that city were healed. A few. I wanted to tell... No, you need to read Acts chapter 8. All of them. Every person. The entire area of Samaria... received Jesus Christ. They were healed. It says that demons were cast out of him. It turned the whole place upside down. What was he doing? He was running for his life. He just found himself in a place. But he was walking in that place, and the heavenly place was inside him. He actually took heaven and brought it to Samaria.
Yes.
So are you running for your life today? Are you scared about what's going around? Don't be. You just start sharing Jesus, and you'll see the same things happen in your life. Place is a set apart. Place is a space that's set apart. When you are at your job, are you allowing yourself to walk in the place of the Holy Spirit? Students, are you taking the opportunity to walk into your schools and let the Holy Spirit take its place in your life? Are you living out purpose in your home? Are you walking in place? And do you feel the weight and importance of the place that you're in right now? We're walking towards heaven, right? We might as well take some people with us. The Great Commission, Jesus tells us to go into all the world and proclaim the gospel. All the world is kind of a heavy sentence. It's like all the world. That just blows my mind. All the world. So let's just back up. Remember, it starts in Jerusalem. So let's say all your world. Can we start there? All your world, your close, immediate world. Start in Jerusalem. And I've got a question for you. This is kind of heavy and it's going to blindside you, but just let it. If in the last year you haven't shared Christ with a healthy percentage of the people in your world, your close, immediate place, the place that you are every day in life. If you have not shared Christ with the majority of those people, then chances are that you will never come close to sharing Christ with everyone in your close, immediate world. They deserve to hear about Christ. I don't know all the people that are in your place. I don't know, but I know they deserve to hear Christ. And I know you got them. And I know you have the Holy Spirit working in your life. So share Christ. Bring Christ to that place. It's not really walking in place if you aren't sharing Christ. It might be walking in church. Are you fulfilling your purpose as a father and mother? Are you fulfilling your purpose as a friend? I'm about to open up this altar. I want to tell you that we do those three things every time we come to Redemption. And we put a special significance on this place right here. This altar, because we really believe. And it's not about this tangible physical place. It's not like we doused it with holy water and said prayers, like 10,000 sinners prayer on this space, so it's extra holy. No, this is just a place. Physical place. But we believe that something spiritual happens when you walk into this place. We believe that you come to this place and not the physical place, but wherever you are in your place, in your life, in your heart, in your family, whatever situations are going on, that you can invite the Lord Jesus Christ to come and be the Lord of that place. So when we come to this place, why don't you just invite Him and let Him and surrender your place to Him? We've talked about some things today. We've talked about eternity. If you got questions about that, please come talk to us. We talked about the Holy Spirit. If you're like, what in the world is the Holy Spirit? Come talk to us. This altar is open right now. And if you want special prayer, you come within the first 2 feet of this altar. And we're going to pray for you because we believe God is in this place. We're believing He's going to meet all of our needs. I'm going to pray as y'all come.
Thank you for joining us. For more information about Redemption, look us up online at www.redemption-church.com and be sure to connect with us on Facebook and Twitter.